WMAL News at 7. Good morning, I'm Steve Burns. A 2-year-old has died after being pulled from a lake in Montgomery Village. Police arrived at Lake Whetstone around 7:30 last night, according to Montgomery County Fire and Rescue spokesman Pete Pieringer.
This young child, a toddler, had been pulled from the water. Police were first to begin resuscitation efforts. That was transferred over to the arriving medics, who then transported the child as a priority one with life-threatening condition to the local hospital.
That toddler was later pronounced dead. Pieringer says the 2-year-old was being watched by relatives as the child and siblings were at a park close to that lake. A day after fake flyers from ICE were found posted around D.C., the district's Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton is now asking the FBI to get involved in the investigation. The flyers look pretty official, posted on utility poles and streetlights, reminding people that helping people illegally in the U.S. is a crime. Congresswoman Norton sending a letter to acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe, saying whoever put them up could be in violation of several federal laws, including falsely acting under the authority of a U.S. department and using federal seals of the U.S. in a fraudulent manner. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser is asking people to tear the signs down if you see them, reaffirming that D.C. is a sanctuary city. Worldwide reaction is still not favorable to President Trump's decision to pull out of the Paris Climate Accords. Greenpeace protesters in Berlin projected Trump's silhouette onto the U.S. Embassy with the words, hashtag total loser, so sad. German Chancellor Angela Merkel called an impromptu press conference saying the decision is extremely regrettable, and that's putting it very mildly. But the UN may still be getting some money from the U.S. in the form of a donation from former New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg. He's pledging $15 million of his own money to fill the gap at the U.S. backing out of its commitments.
What we're going to leave to our children and grandchildren is something that is really worrisome. We have to do something now. The American people, I think, have been doing their share and then some. And we've committed here that we're going to continue to do that.
In a conference call Friday, members of the United Conference of Mayors also voiced their commitment to do whatever it takes to prove the U.S. commitment to combating climate change. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis is again warning the world of the dangers posed by North Korea. Speaking at an international security conference in Singapore, he says he's also worried, though, about China's use of artificial islands.
This includes the nature of its militarization, China's disregard for international law, its contempt for other nations' interests, and its efforts to dismiss non-adversarial resolution of issues.
He says conflict between the U.S. and China is not inevitable, even if there is competition between the two. And one of the most revered pioneers of Southern Rock will be remembered in a memorial service today with at least one former president among the mourners.
Lord, I was born.
Former President Jimmy Carter quips that in the 70s, when he first sought to move from the Georgia State House to the White House, Greg Allman was more famous than he was. And he says he and his wife Rosalynn were always grateful for Allman's support. The Carter Center says the former president plans to attend the final farewell to Allman in Macon, Georgia, where the Allman Brothers Band first carved out a piece of music history. He'll be laid to rest near his late brother Dwayne Allman and late bandmate Barry Oakley at Macon's Rose Hill Cemetery. I'm Jan Johnson.
Sports, the Nats thump the A's 13-3. O's hang on to beat the Red Sox 3-2. Stanley Cup Finals Game 3 is tonight. Pittsburgh looking to go up 3-0 over Nashville. We'll check on traffic and weather up next on WMAL.
WMAL, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm really fed up with this whole thing. Thank goodness for your humor, or I'd have to scream right now.
You are on WMAL.
You guys are my therapy couch.
Glad to hear it.
I need some good news.
Every day we rescue your emotions.
It gives me a chance to vent. I actually really appreciate this conversation because it makes me think.
105.9 FM and AM 630.
You can be a part of the conversation because that's what makes us different than all of the rest of the media.
Washington's Mall.
I appreciate it.
WMAL.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Bull & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even 3 U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to BollandBranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP. Spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's BollandBranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
Wouldn't it be great if you could stop crime before it happens? With the Ring Floodlight Cam, you can. I'm Jamie Siminoff, inventor and founder of Ring. Floodlight Cam is a motion-activated HD security camera that connects right to your phone, so you're alerted when anyone steps under your property. You can now see, speak, or even sound an alarm right from your phone, anywhere, anytime. Does your floodlight prevent crime? Ours does. Go to ring.com/advantage and save $150 off of a Ring of Security kit. That's ring.com/advantage.
To find your locally owned and operated Cub Cadet dealer, visit cubcadetdealers.com.
7:05 now, heading into the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center. We say good morning to James Stanley.
Steve, thank you and good morning. The Beltway Interloop near Connecticut, a couple of right lanes getting by. That's a work zone. No accidents to report, Beltway Interloop or Outer Loop. We are still seeing a little bit of a delay from this crash through Maryland. I-270 northbound, right around Rockledge, Old Georgetown Road exit. Police are directing you around the crash site. They've got some cones out. Not sure if there's any injuries involved, but that's been there since about 6:15 this morning. Several pockets of construction still out on I-95 southbound. Around the Dale City rest area. They've got a left lane taken out of the main lanes and the ramps to both exiting and entering the freeway closed. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Partly cloudy, high about 83 today, down to around 60 tonight. A little bit warmer tomorrow, high 87, staying mostly sunny. We're at 62 right now in D.C. I'm Steve Burns on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Achoo! It could be the worst allergy season in years, but you don't have to suffer. Your home should be an oasis, but pollen and other allergens can burrow deep into your area and oriental rugs. Combine that with dirt, pet odors, and even bacteria. You don't need new rugs. You just need Hadid.
For all your oriental rug cleaning needs, just one call to Joe Hadid.
Hadid washes each rug by hand. It's a multi-step process that ensures the removal of not only pet odors, dirt, and grime, but the bacteria and allergens that hide deep in your rugs. And now Joe is offering a second cleaning option. For certain rugs that qualify, he has developed a cleaning process that is faster and will save you money. Plus, right now we're offering 20% off any implant rug cleaning. That's 20% off. To learn more, go to JoeHadid.com. That's JoeHadid.com.
If you stand on it, we stand behind.
If you don't want ants inside, kill them outside with Amdro Ant Block Home Perimeter Ant Bait. Ants are attracted to Amdro because they think it's food. They carry it back to the nest and share it with the entire colony, including the queen. That's how Amdro kills the ants you see and the ones you don't, guaranteed. Look for Amdro Ant Block at your local lawn and garden retailer. Amdro Ant Block. Ants love it to death.
When you genuinely care about the people you serve, their safety comes first. That's why Novec asks you to put safety first. Your life could depend on it. Novec recommends unplugging devices you're not using. Replace worn-out extension cords, too. Call 811 to locate any underground lines at least 2 days before you dig. Novec wants everyone to be safe around electricity. From safety demonstrations to safety tips on our website, at Novec, it's always safety first.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM. At AM 630.
WMAL. Great to have you with us on the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and of course, all eyes focus during the daytime on the White House briefing room. The ratings are through the roof, and our fly on the wall joins us every Saturday morning. John Gizzi is the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com, and John is there for those White House briefings. Great to have you with us, John.
Great to be here, and you've just given me such a compliment, comparing me to one of the great roles of one of my favorite actors, Vincent Price, the fly.
Friday, there was a peppering of questions in the briefing room about the climate accord, very heated questioning. If you could take us through some of the highlights of the week, what stands out to you and what's significant as we move forward. You know, some things are significant in the future, and then some things go away in 24 to 36 hours.
Well, very clearly, Rick, the most significant fact is that speculation still swirls around the fate of the briefing and, of course, the briefer-in-chief, Press Secretary Sean Spicer. We should be past the time whether we know the fate of the president's top spokesman, and yet that comes up repeatedly. When he had a briefing on Wednesday that did not win the right to be carried on the networks that day, an off-camera briefing, as it was, Speculation started again. He would soon be out. I must say that Sean has had some days when he's really not his usual feisty and combative self and just seems like he wants to get out. When you cut a briefing short to 12 minutes, which he did on Wednesday, that speculation reaches a crescendo. Now, that said, the briefings still went on. The major news of the week was, of course, the president's long-expected decision to pull the United States out of the Paris Climate Accord. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with it, the Climate Accord is an agreement through which the United States pays money to various international agencies, most under the aegis of the United Nations, to research and then implement CO2 emissions reduction. And the so-called greenhouse emissions are sought to be brought down, and by that way, if one accepts the science, reduce man-made global warming. The problem is there's a lot of people who question the science behind it in the United States, or who, like House Speaker Paul Ryan, while accepting the science, say that we should not put at risk our manufacturing and coal industries, especially when other countries such as China and India get breaks and their industries don't have to limit what they do vis-a-vis the environment. President Trump bought into the latter argument, despite pleas from Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and his own daughter Ivanka. He pulled the United States out of the Paris Climate Accord to a cacophony of criticism from world leaders ranging to France's Macron and Germany's Merkel to many mayors, executives, and citizens groups within the United States. He did not want to risk what he felt was the loss of 2.7 million jobs in industries he professed to love. This argument has been around for a long time, Rick. I can remember Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner, nearly 15 years ago, the Wisconsin Republican, told me that if we fully accepted and dealt with the science that climate change advocates insist on, we would totally defenestrate our manufacturing industry and factories would lie idle. So it is. On Friday, Scott Pruitt, Environmental Protection Administrator, took questions one by one, denied he was a climate skeptic, and pointed out the U.S. is still seeking ways to reduce greenhouse emissions. So the United States' commitment on this issue remains, to a lesser degree to many, but its association on the international stage will end during the next 4 years. That's the issue that had everyone burning, no pun intended. It was 90-degree weather outside in the Rose Garden when we waited for the president to come in and announce his decision on climate change, and then voila, we went into the briefing room, which is air-conditioned, and as one of my colleagues said, we just experienced climate change.
So for the second time in a month, the president tweeting, calling on the Senate to revise its rules and permit a simple 51-vote majority to enact legislation. Where does that go from here? Any chance?
No, there's no chance on it, and let me explain why. Senator McConnell, the Republican majority leader, and others were perfectly willing to invoke the nuclear option and have an up or down vote to end filibusters on Supreme Court nominations by a 51% simple majority. This is what the Democrats did for nominations to the U.S. Court of Appeals. But ending the filibuster for legislation is a different kettle of fish. The filibuster has existed since the beginning of the Senate itself and has protected minorities as it was designed to do. A committee headed by Roy Blunt, the chairman of the Senate Rules Committee, is exploring possible reform of the filibuster. What may come about from this, Trump's tweets notwithstanding, is a restoration of real filibuster as opposed to fake filibuster. In other words, one can delay a vote from coming up as long as one stands on the floor and talks, as Senator Strom Thurmond did when he set a record in 1957, or as Jimmy Stewart did in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Right now, all a senator has had to do for the past 40 years, under a rules change of the 70s, is sit and hold the floor, and then have another colleague who will simply object when a vote comes. That's probably going to end. As to how soon it will, time will only tell.
I think we're all starting to get numb with all of these stories that continue to come out about Trump colleagues and the Russians. Anything significant in terms of developments this week that would tie any of this any further together on the whole collusion claim, aside from Hillary Clinton claiming collusion?
Most of my colleagues in the White House press room believe that the noose is tightening around the neck of first son-in-law Jared Kushner, that he has had dealings with Russian bankers and possibly others that would indicate there were ties between the Trump campaign and the Federated Russian Republic. Let me add as a postscript to that, that many senators want to look into just how many contacts the then-senator and current Attorney General Jeff Sessions had with Russian diplomats. There's a lot of speculation, and next week, former FBI Director Jim Comey is expected to testify and shed a little bit more light on this subject. As for any evidence that any laws were violated, one has to really wait on that one.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax. You can find him by simply Googling Gizzi on politics or on Twitter at John Gizzi. John, thank you as always.
Thank you for having me, Rick, and stay cool this weekend.
And we'll check that weather and traffic right now on WMAL.
From the Adib Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center, checking the roads this morning. Just getting word of a crash on the Beltway Outer Loop, the ramp to get onto 270. It's exit 35. It's off on the right shoulder. No big delay through there, but you'll see it, and you may have to hit the brakes as you go by. Park Service Police and MoDOT have Clara Barton Parkway both directions between Glen Echo Turnaround and the Chain Bridge shut down. They're doing a road construction project this morning. No word on when that'll all be picked up. Here in the district, the Race for Respect is going on, and that's got Pennsylvania Avenue both directions between 9th Street Northwest and 14th Street Northwest completely closed off. In Maryland, that's the Herndon Festival that has Eldon Street around Center to Monroe Streets completely shut down. Now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
And for Washington, we're looking for a nice weekend for today. Partly cloudy, high of 83. Mostly sunny tomorrow with a high of 87. Some thunderstorms on Monday with a high of 79. Tuesday, we're looking for partly cloudy weather and a high of 74. Right now in Washington, we are at 62 degrees and we're heading up to 83. We'll talk with Steve Cortez. That's next on WMAL. You know him, of course, from CNBC's Fast Money and Halftime Report and, of course, Fox News.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
You are listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and it's great to be joined by Steve Cortez, Fox News contributor. Steve, it's great to have you with us.
Rick, thanks so much. Good morning.
I wanted to get a perspective from you on the president's decision to pull out of the Paris Accord. The president has been hammered by major media outlets. He's been hammered by international leadership. Help us to understand what's behind it and what aren't we hearing in those newscasts?
Right. Now, Rick, listen, I'm so glad you asked because I feel so strongly about this. And I'll tell you, as somebody who's a veteran of the campaign, one of the things that really resonated with our campaign and with the Trump base and when we go to rallies and we talk to people and meet people was this Paris Agreement. Because I think, unfortunately, it in many ways encapsulated the globalist, elitist, multilateral construct, which in many ways has served the elites of New York and Washington, D.C. very well, but has been but has operated to the detriment of regular working Americans, whether it's bad trade agreements, whether it's needless, endless military interventions all around the world, or whether it's something like this Paris Agreement, which, by the way, tells China, far and away the biggest polluter in the world, tells China, don't worry about your polluting. We're going to give you until 2030. You don't even have to reduce. You can keep on polluting at will. Meanwhile, the United States will unilaterally say that we're going to reduce our emissions even more than we already are. And that's the other point, Rick, that's important. In the last decade, our emissions have already gone down 12% because of what we're already doing in America and because of our technology. So the trajectory in the United States is already massively toward cleaner air, cleaner water. Of course we all want that. What we don't want is to surrender our sovereignty to an international construct. And I love that the president said, I'm not the president of Paris, I'm the president of Pittsburgh. And we're going to put American workers first and foremost in every decision this administration makes. And Paris is, I think, is a great example of that.
People know you not only from Fox, but of course your time at CNBC and Fast Money. So you can bring a business perspective to this as well as a political analysis. And the business community seems to be stepping up and saying, hey, we will take this on ourselves. We will abide by the accords. It's very interesting to see this almost a corporate responsibility taking over from where the government maybe should get out of that responsibility.
You know, and you know, Rick, I think you bring up a great point. Listen, again, you know, all of us, right, are for clean air and clean water. And if companies believe that they have, they can pursue policies that both profit their shareholders and their stakeholders and employees, and at the same time produce a cleaner environment, fantastic. But the idea that it should be coerced from the top down, from government, and not even just American government, but from some globalist government, to me, that's absurd. I would also point this out too, though, Rick. I think there is a bit of hypocrisy. A lot of big CEOs, and by the way, Donald Trump was not elected clearly with the support of big business. He was elected by blue-collar workers. He was elected by small business, by people who have, frankly, not done very well in this very sluggish economic recovery that we've had in this country for the last decade. The CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, they've done fantastically over the last decade. The average worker has not. So a lot of these CEOs, they are very comfortable with the present globalist construct, with things like the Paris Accord, with things like the Export-Import Bank, with things like the World Bank. So I think that there is a bit of hypocrisy when they will portend that they're representing capitalism, because in many cases, I think what they're representing is crony capitalism, which really isn't capitalism at all. And when it comes to small business innovation, look, I think I have no doubt, Rick, that American capitalists and entrepreneurs are going to continue to come up with amazing solutions to keep our standard of living elevated, but at the same time, keep our environment clean and cleaner every day. What won't work, in my view, is, again, top-down government central planned solutions, even from Washington, much less from an international body.
And one final quick question on that. Something I've mentioned before is that Donald Trump is a negotiator. And sometimes when you negotiate, you have to play hardball and you have to walk away from the table. And he has left open the door to renegotiating the accord, but everybody is projecting this as DOA when I think he's amenable to talking further and maybe coming back with some kind of a solution that works for the American workers.
Hey, Rick, I think you're exactly right. And you see that with Donald Trump, certainly in his business career, and I think even so far in politics. It's very rare that he just completely shuts the door and says, we're not discussing it. He's a negotiator. You're exactly right. Now, he's not going to negotiate against the position of the American worker. But, for example, in this particular case, my guess would be if China and India are willing to be more reasonable, which they were not in the initial negotiations, and if he were to say, hey, we're not going to allow you to gain an absolutely unfair advantage over American manufacturing because of this treaty, but a clean earth is in all of our interests. Let's talk. I think that's part of what he's doing, and I think Trump often does this. The United States, for far too long, Rick, I think, has acted in international negotiations as if we don't hold the strong hand. But if it's a poker game, we hold a straight flush, and it's time that we start acting like it. And I think President Trump, thankfully, is doing just that.
One other topic came out Friday, and that is the Supreme Court could be ruling within days on the temporary stay on the president's travel ban. Now, this has been spun in a lot of media outlets as a ban on Muslims, when in fact it's a ban on travel from countries that have a tendency of unscreened, possible dangerous people. How does this play out in the Supreme Court versus the lower courts, where the lower court judges kept taking it back to what Donald Trump said on the campaign trail, which has nothing to do with the law, per se?
Right, right. Well, Rick, I sure hope that the Supreme Court's going to act judiciously, because the lower courts did not. I think they went through judicial gymnastics to try to construct a reason to disallow this travel ban simply because they don't like it for political purposes. But guess what? They're not elected to do that. They're supposed to interpret the Constitution, not make laws. The Ninth Circuit in particular, I think, has been an outrage. I'm hopeful. I'm very appreciative that Gorsuch is on the court, and I'm hopeful that the Supreme Court's going to act reasonably here and say the president is totally within his statutory power. And by the way, forget about even just what's legal, what's sensible. All he has said, it's not a Muslim ban. It's not a religious test. It's saying if you're coming from failed states and if we don't know who you are, and your government can't tell us who you are. And by the way, in light of Manchester, which is just tragic, I think this becomes all the more important. The Manchester bomber had visited Libya just before he returned to England and committed that terrible atrocity. I mean, I don't think we need any more evidence to know that it just makes sense for us to say, if you're coming from Syria or Afghanistan or Libya, we're going to take a hard look at you. It's not even to say that you absolutely can't come, but we're going to interview you. We're going to look at you. We're going to see about your background. And if we don't know who you are, sorry, you can't visit. And that's not a Muslim ban. It's not racist. It's not xenophobic. It's just common sense.
Steve Cortez, Fox News contributor, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Rick.
7:27 now, Saturday morning update, WMAL. Coming up, we'll be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, of course, Fox News contributor, and also Mercedes Schlapp on the way.
Why trust the parts pros at Advance Auto? Because if there's one thing they know, it's parts.
Thank you for calling Advance Auto Parts and Battery. This is Taryn. I can help you.
I'm wondering if you guys do battery installations?
Yeah, absolutely. It's free of charge.
Do you do wiper installations, too?
Yes, that is also free of charge.
Wow, all that's free.
We also do alternator and starter testing for free.
Wow, you guys pretty much do everything.
Yes.
Any chance you guys handle dry cleaning?
Well, not quite everything.
Advance Auto Parts. We know everything about auto parts. And now get a $20 Speed Perks reward with any battery purchase over $100. Also at participating CarQuest stores.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you take a vacation, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there may be a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Oh, and the best part is, you can do all of this in just a few hours a week from your home, using your laptop or smartphone. Learn how to make money when the market goes up, down, or sideways. Sound interesting? Call my friends at Online Trading Academy. They have put together a do-it-yourself investors kit that they want to send to you right away. You will get videos, hand-picked investing articles, and one of the most popular courses, and it's all for free. They will even throw in 2 free tickets to their next workshop so you can ask questions and learn more. You can do this. Just text the word INVESTOR to 797979. That's INVESTOR to 797979. Text INVESTOR to 797979. Message and data rates may apply.
Want to undo McAuliffe's crooked liberal agenda? Don't count on Ed Gillespie. Ed Gillespie's an insider K Street lobbyist, losing candidate and failed party boss. Gillespie doesn't support President Trump, and Gillespie says towns have a right to be sanctuary cities, force transgender bathrooms, and take down Robert E. Lee. Ed Gillespie supports illegal alien amnesty, and Gillespie even said he'd veto a ban on late-term abortions. On our our side? Corey Stewart. Corey Stewart for governor. Tax cutter. Tough on illegals. Pro jobs. Pro life. Pro Trump. Winner. Five times in a blue county. Others promise. Corey Stewart gets it done.
I'm Corey Stewart. Ed Gillespie won't undo McAuliffe's crooked liberal agenda. I will. My record of cutting taxes and standing up to illegal aliens speaks for itself. I'm Corey Stewart, and I approve this ad.
Corey Stewart for governor. The courage to fight. The experience to win. Paid for by Stewart for governor.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk. News. Now,
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning. I'm Steve Burns. There has been another arrest as the investigation into the Manchester bombing goes on. A 24-year-old has been taken into custody after his car was deemed significant to the investigation. Police cordoned off an area around the car in southern Manchester, in the same area that had been frequently visited by the bomber, Salman Abedi. The bomb squad cleared and removed that car. And Ariana Grande is back in Manchester today for the One Love Manchester benefit concert. Aside from her, Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, Miley Cyrus, Coldplay, and the Black Eyed Peas are set to perform. Black Eyed Peas frontman Will.i.am.
We're going to be there to spread love and remind people that we should not let hate and fear destroy our connection with music.
Proceeds will go to an emergency fund set up by the City of Manchester and the British Red Cross. Well, it wasn't your average attempted break-in. A man was caught on security cameras trying to break into a house off River Road in Bethesda, completely naked. It happened back on May 17th on the 5100 block of Newport Avenue. Police are just now releasing surveillance camera footage from the house in the hopes that someone will recognize the man in his birthday suit. He ran away when a motion-activated floodlight switched on. The Music City turns into Hockey City tonight as Nashville hosts its first ever Stanley Cup final game tonight.
The Nashville Predators have a chance to win the franchise's first ever championship, but if it's going to happen this year, the team needs to find a way to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins at home.
Look at our record at home, what we've been able to do, the confidence we've played in this building, and, you know, there's a reason why there's a home, they call it home ice advantage.
Predators captain Mike Fisher and his team have gone 7-1 in the playoffs in Nashville, and playing in front of Preds fans could be the needed remedy, trailing two games to none to Pittsburgh in the best of seven series. Game four is also in Nashville on Monday night. Joe Ramsey, WMAL and WMAL.com.
More sports. The Nats thump the A's 13-3. The O's hang on, beating the Red Sox 3-2. We'll check on traffic and weather next.
The news you need when you start up each morning. Washington Mornings on the Mall. Weekdays 5 till 9.
On 105.9 FM and AM 630.
Washington's Mall.
WMAL.
Where Washington comes to talk.
If you have retirement money in the stock market, you've probably done well in this bull market. Of course, the question you have to consider is, how much longer will it last?
We always ask, is it more valuable to you to ride this thing out and try to earn an extra few percent? Or is it more valuable to you to say, hey, we're almost here. Let's start to protect what we've built so far so that, God forbid, if a crash or serious correction happens, we don't let a lifetime's worth of savings be wiped out.
Abe and Shelley Abish at Abish Financial Services understand that as you're getting closer to retirement, risk is not your friend.
Abe tries to ensure that you're protecting what it is that you do have, and that's just our philosophy here at Abish Financial.
Call 571-577-9968 for a complimentary Where Do I Stand plan, a second opinion of your retirement risk. Find out more at RetirementKeyRadio.com. And check out Abe and Shelley's Retirement Key Radio Show Sunday afternoons at 3 here on WMAL.
By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance products, including annuities offered through Abraham Abish, Virginia Insurance License Number 557-877.
At 7:33, checking back in with James Stanley in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Steve, thank you and good morning here in the district. The Down Syndrome Awareness Race for Respect is happening. It starts at 9 o'clock this morning. They've already got Pennsylvania Avenue, though, both directions between 9th and 14th completely blocked off. A little further down on Pennsylvania Avenue westbound between 26th and M Street. That's not affiliated with the race. They're actually doing some construction road repairs through that stretch on Pennsylvania. In Virginia, the Herndon Festival has Eldon Street both directions between Center and Monroe blocked off, as well as the intersection. Streets. I-95 looks good both directions, not seeing any delays coming to or going out of the district. Now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Partly cloudy, high about 83 today, down to around 60 tonight. A little bit warmer tomorrow, high 87, staying mostly sunny. We're at 64 right now in D.C. I'm Steve Burns on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Bull & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store.
Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even three U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to BollAndBranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP. Spelled B-O-L-L and Branch.com. That's BollAndBranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
The big screen store's smart summer savings time. Get a giant Samsung 65-inch smart TV for just $8.99.
For Samsung? Now that's a great price.
That's right, and it's yours for just $8.99. The big screen store is the only exclusive Samsung store, and our prices beat Best Buy and warehouse clubs every time.
They even beat Amazon's prices.
Our expert service and installation is legendary and second to none. And this is huge. We double the length of your Samsung TV warranty free. Plus great deals from your home theater experts on the latest in power reclining seating with power headrests.
Nothing like watching a movie on a big screen.
You got to check out the big screen store.
And for a limited time, a Samsung 65-inch smart TV is just $8.99. The big screen store. Visit us at thebigscreenstore.com for offer details. Store locations in Maryland and Virginia.
Wouldn't it be great if you could stop crime before it happens? With the Ring Floodlight Cam, you can. I'm Jamie Siminoff, inventor and founder of Ring. Floodlight Cam is a motion-activated HD security camera that connects right to your phone, so you're alerted when anyone steps onto your property. You can now see, speak, or even sound an alarm right from your phone, anywhere, anytime. Does your floodlight prevent crime? Ours does. Go to ring.com/advantage and save $150 off of a Ring of Security kit. That's ring.com/advantage.
This is the Saturday Morning Update on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
736 on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, Vice President for Strategic Initiatives and Operations, London Center for Policy Research. Tony, great to have you with us.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
The U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis is in Singapore this morning. He says the United States regards North Korea's pursuit of nuclear weapons a, quote, clear and present danger. We have seen another North Korean missile test this week, and we also saw a successful test of the U.S. missile defense system. And the speed at which these missiles travel, and it's, I think somebody equated it to a bullet hitting a bullet at a very high rate of speed. Tell us a little bit about the test and then, you know, segue into North Korea and what the defense secretary is reiterating this morning.
Yeah, the test basically was an attempt to use a ballistic missile launched from the United States into the Pacific to figure out if we can use one of our surface-to-air defense systems, a THAAD, to knock it down. And the physics of it are extraordinary. I mean, you're talking about two things which are fairly small size, traveling at thousands of miles an hour, trying to hit one hitting the other. And it's something that's been not going well. I mean, a lot of the tests in the past have not gone well. There was a lot of misses. But I think the technology's finally developed and refined to the point of where they have a high degree of probability of success. I will say this, though. I think there's a better system that was not built and they need to be looking at called Brilliant Pebbles. Brilliant Pebbles was a space-based system which essentially would allow you to track things much earlier when they're coming off the launch pad than tracking it into something in the upper atmosphere. What you're having to do here with launching something from the surface is that you're basically counting on it being able to have the correct thrust, and you're going to have to probably use more than one of these to get to the target. So while this is good, and obviously it's meant to show the North Koreans that we mean business, it's not optimal. But, you know, I think it shows that we can defend the Japanese and some other countries against the attacks should the North Koreans try to do it.
Are we getting to a point with North Korea where we could wake up one morning and turn on the news and hear that we attacked a site in North Korea? Are we at that point?
Well, you know, look, Rick, we've had plans going back to the 90s to do that very thing. I mean, this is not new. I remember one time when Jim Woolsey was still there, my friend Jim, as the director of Central Intelligence, I was over for a visit there, and they were reviewing concepts with a couple of different special mission units I can't get into. But The answer is yeah. I think there's clear indications that if there are physical nuclear material being moved to the potentially linked or used on a missile of some sort, I can see that there would be proactive preventative action from allowing that to happen. And remember now that nuclear weapons are very much a tripwire for us. And I think the Chinese, I think this is another area where I think it's been made very clear to the Chinese that should the North Koreans do something like this, both the accountability and the fallout is going to really fall on the Chinese.
I want to turn to the subpoenas issued this week, House Intel Committee. All of the headlines have been focusing on General Flynn and the president's personal attorney, Michael Cohen. And if you see the headlines, as an example, in the Los Angeles Times, that's the focus. Flynn and Trump's personal lawyer among seven subpoenaed in Russian investigation. Very few of the news outlets focused on the fact that also mentioned in those subpoenas are the former CIA Director John Brennan, the former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, and the former National Security Advisor, Susan Rice, all members of the Obama administration. What do you read into the subpoenas for those three people?
Well, first off, some of the subpoenas are redundant. Some of the subpoenas that have been issued are redundant to the ones that the Senate's already issued. So, and those are the ones, the Mike Flynn and his lawyers, stuff like that. But no, I think the House is going a little further, and they did mention Brennan and some of the others, and I think this is where at least the House side is going in it both ways. That right now, they're trying to get at the root cause of how did the Mike Flynn information make it from this extraordinarily sensitive method of collection, only a handful of people know about, how did that go from there to the New York Times? And to you and me. Yeah, to us, ultimately, to the consumer. So I think that's the ultimate question that I think needs to be answered in addition to whatever Mike Flynn did or did not do. And we do know, and this is just the way it is, we do know, Rick, that someone, beyond a shadow of a doubt, broke the law under Title 18 regarding the release of national security information. The Mike Flynn thing is still nebulous. There's nearly no clear-cut crime or no crime. But we do know there was a crime there. So I applaud the House for actually saying, hey, someone actually did break the law here. And I got to tell you, my information is that John Brennan or one of his deputies and some of the other, Jim Clapper as well, and one of his deputies were the ones behind the leaking. And so I've said this before, and I'm sticking with my commentary on John Brennan. I think John Brennan was a lead figure working with the White House on making those leaks, and I'm glad the House is going to look at it.
I want to turn to Afghanistan. Demonstration in Kabul this morning has left several people dead. It's the second day of a demonstration started on Friday, and it's over 1,000 people demanding more security in the capital following the powerful truck bomb attack in the city. It killed 90 people, wounded more than 450, and it was very, very close to the green zone. Any sense of who the attribution would go to on that attack? Taliban, ISIS, any indicators yet?
Well, it's one of those things where neither side wants to claim it at this point. So, until one of the other two really do clarify it, and we don't have enough intelligence telling us what happened. This is one of the most horrific bombings of Kabul ever. I mean, I've been in Kabul. I've been there when bombings happened. I've actually been close to the things going off. So it's it is horrific. My money right now is on ISIS. I think ISIS is doing everything it can to destabilize the path forward, and frankly, the one of our main objectives there is to reconcile the government, the Afghan government, with the Taliban, I think that's what ISIS is attempting to interfere with. And simply put, we're not going to be putting another 100,000 troops back in there. Our best hope for peace there is to reconcile the two sides, and then maybe even have them look at taking on ISIS. But all roads lead back to Pakistan, no matter how you cut it, Rick. I mean, Pakistan has been the back door left wide open for both the Taliban to resurge into Afghanistan and now for the ISIS folks to move in. So until we figure out how to work with Pakistan or Pakistan decides they really do want to stop this terrorism, we're going to continue to see these problems.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, Vice President, Strategic Initiatives and Operations, London Center for Policy Research. You can follow Tony on Twitter, and, of course, he is often on Fox News. Tony, thank you so very much for being with us.
Great. Thanks, Rick.
You bet. 7:45 Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. Coming up next, we will talk with Mercedes Schlapp. We will get her perspectives on why President Trump pulled out of the Paris Accord. That's next, right after traffic and weather.
From the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center, checking the roads this morning. Rick, we still have that crash on the Beltway Outer Loop. It's the ramp to get onto I-270, exit 35 on the right shoulder. Looks like they're waiting on a wrecker, so that's going to be there a few more minutes. That's work crews out on I-95 southbound around the Dale City rest area. They've got a left lane taken out on the main lanes. Both ramps to get on and off the interstate there blocked. The Herndon Festival is happening in Virginia. That's got delays on Eldon Street between Center and Monroe. All of those lanes, including the intersecting streets, are blocked for the big festival. Here in the district, it's the Race for Respect. That's got Pennsylvania Avenue both directions between 9th Northwest and 14th Northwest shut down, and a couple of the cross streets, too. Now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We are looking for partly cloudy skies today, high of 82, mostly sunny tomorrow, a high of 87, some thunderstorms Monday up to 78, and clouds on Tuesday, high 74. In Washington, we're up to 66. We're heading to 82 this afternoon, and it's 7:45 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It's great to have you with us on the Saturday Morning Update, and great to be joined by Mercedes Schlapp. She is co-founder of Cove Strategies, former White House Director of Specialty Media for President George W. Bush, and a Fox News contributor. Mercedes, good morning.
Good morning.
Mass hysteria again in the media this week. Not just Russia, but now it's the Paris Accord. President Trump decides to get the United States out of that accord.
It's been amazing, Rick, to watch the response from not only the mainstream media, but obviously the Democrats in terms of this hysteria, where you're even watching liberal mayors and liberal politicians coming out and saying that they're still going to abide by the Paris Climate Agreement, which I think for Americans, it's important to step back and learn what are the details in the agreement itself. Which we know first off that, for example, President Obama should have taken it to the Senate for a ratification process. This is what the European countries did. They took it to their legislatures and they went through their ratification process to get this agreement agreed upon, basically, in their countries. We did not do that in the United States. Obviously, what we do know is that Secretary John Kerry changed the language in order to ensure that it wouldn't have to go through the treaty process. And so it just adds into this narrative of the fact of, you know, President Obama pushing this very utopian climate change agenda, which we know would cost American taxpayers over $3 billion without any authorization of Congress. So it really is, I think, problematic from the start. It was their short-term vision of the Obama administration, which has led to now President Trump basically saying, you know what, this is not the right accord for the United States. We need to look to see what's in the best interest of our economy, of our nation, and we don't need any international oversight in terms of determining whether we meet our goals or not meet our goals, because what it does is that it opens up this Pandora's box on potential legal challenges that would come from environmental groups if we were not to follow this international agreement to the T. So it becomes a very complicated process, and it's why I think for President Trump and keeping to his campaign promise of exiting the Paris Climate Accords agreement, it just made complete sense for the United States.
Not all countries are subject to the same rules and restrictions. Tell us a little bit about the difference between what the United States has to abide by and, say, for example, China.
Right. And I think this is, again, a very important point to bring up. I think when you look in the case of China, for example, the way they signed on to the agreement was the fact that they could, in essence, increase emissions until the year 2030. They didn't have to abide by the same rules as the United States. And as we know, they've actually, you know, they have coal plants in China, and they had more of a leeway than the United States did in terms of setting up their goals. And then you look at India, for example. Well, their contingency clause was that give them $2.5 billion, and then they would sign on to the agreement. So it was this sense that, you know, some of these countries were at a different were held to a different standard than the United States. And I think what's hard for the American taxpayer is the fact that when you have the president basically saying, okay, we're going to commit $3 billion to this United Nations climate slush fund, you know, that really raises a red flag. And this is what President Obama pushed for during his time as president. And I think for President Trump, let me tell you, inside the White House, there was plenty battling, you know, of a battle going on between those who are pushing for the president to have the United States stay in the Paris Climate Agreement. And there were those who were basically saying to withdraw. And I think that battle was very real in the White House. But I think the president really stuck, you know, to his conviction. He made the promise during the campaign trail that he would withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement. And he held true to the fact that, is this good for the American worker and for the economy? And I think that when you look at the numbers and you just spell it out, it was very clear that it made no sense for the U.S. to continue to, and the American taxpayer, to continue to pay for this green climate fund of the United Nations, for them to have to be dealing with an international oversight in terms of them making sure that the United States was sticking to their goals, and with the result of a very negligible impact on the climate itself, because you would have to stick precisely every single country, 195 countries would have to stick to their goals in order to reduce the temperature 0.17 degrees Celsius. And that just was just not enough. It just economically didn't make sense, logically didn't make sense, and I think that's why the president decided it was time to exit.
It strikes me as I'm wondering if some of this uproar that's been created among the international leaders is sort of a frustration that all of a sudden the United States isn't going to have the open checkbook any longer. They can't play us any longer. And does this also fit into the president's narrative? He was going to change things and put America first.
Yeah, I mean, I keep having this vision of these European elitist leaders sitting down at a very fancy tea party and President Trump coming in and breaking the china. I mean, that's my vision. And I think that it's an important vision in the sense that when you look at it, it's sending a direct message to Macron and Merkel and several of these European leaders that have not carried the load, that have basically had the United States, when you look at NATO, for example, where we contribute over 3.6% into NATO, while you have Germany and France not even making it to that 2% threshold. You know, it really raises a question of, it's time for you all to step up to the plate. It's time for you all, European countries, to ensure that you're contributing as much as the United States. And so I think that they felt very comfortable. These European leaders felt very comfortable in the hands of President Obama. They connected with him. They felt that it was that sort of global elite mentality. Well, President Trump is not like that. He's focused on the American worker. He's focused on the American economy. He's looking introspectively to ensure that we're doing everything we can to boost our economy. It's not that he wants to alienate our allies. That's not the case at all. But he does want to make sure that we have a very clear understanding that that this is an issue of fairness, and everyone needs to be part of contributing, whether it be NATO, whether it be the Paris Climate Agreement. I mean, these are very serious international exchanges that we're having. And it's not that he wants to isolate Europe in any way, but he does want to make it clear that this is about ensuring that American workers are thriving in today's economy. And that has not been the case under President Obama.
Mercedes Schlapp, opinion piece is in Thursday's Times, What Trump Got Right in His Decision to Nix Paris. Mercedes, thank you so much as always.
Thank you so much.
7:54, Saturday morning update. We're going to leave you with some good news next.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance Auto know, it's parts.
Advance Auto parts and batteries.
I'm on your website, and it says I can buy online and then pick up in store?
Yes.
And how long does that usually take?
30 minutes or less.
I need a battery for my 2013 Ford Escape.
Our Autocraft Gold, it's got a 3-year warranty.
Man, you really know your stuff. I'm 33. Am I too young for a cardigan?
Too young for a cardigan.
Advance Auto Parts. We know everything about auto parts. Order online at AdvanceAutoParts.com and pick up your order in store in just 30 minutes. Also at participating CarQuest stores.
This is such a blow to investors. You know what, right now,
it takes courage to face up to things like volatile markets, long-term concerns, and Wall Street money traps. But if you're worried, unsure, unhappy, or losing sleep about your money, give us a call today at 1-800-563-7030. Again, that's 1-800-563-7030.
Achoo! It could be the worst allergy season in years, but you don't have to suffer. Your home should be an oasis, but pollen and other allergens can burrow deep into your area and oriental rugs. Combine that with dirt, pet odors, and even bacteria. You don't need new rugs. You just need Hadid.
For all your oriental rug cleaning needs, just one call to Joe Hadid.
Hadid washes each rug by hand. It's a multi-step process that ensures the removal of not only pet odors, dirt, and grime, but the bacteria and allergens that hide deep in your rugs. And now Joe is offering a second cleaning option. For certain rugs that qualify, he has developed a cleaning process that is faster and will save you money. Plus, right now we're offering 20% off any implant rug cleaning. That's 20% off. To learn more, go to JoeHadid.com. That's JoeHadid.com.
If you stand on it, we stand behind it.
Whether you're looking to move up or change careers, make sure the education you invest in can give you skills to prepare you for that next step. University of Maryland University College offers degrees online from a public state university to provide the education your future demands. Hear from alumni like cyber graduate Kate.
When I mentioned UMUC, everybody's eyes lit up in the room because they knew that program had a good reputation in the industry.
MBA graduate Andre.
The real life experience of my teachers at UMUC was absolutely invaluable.
Health informatics graduate Ebony.
Every class that I had applied to what I was doing at work.
And communications graduate Monique.
The fact that UMUC is part of the University System of Maryland means that it's quality education.
UMUC's need and merit-based scholarships can help you afford your degree. Talk to a UMUC advisor to explore the more than 100 scholarships UMUC offers, including the new summer term scholarship. Visit umuc.edu/radio. That's umuc.edu/radio. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
If you don't want ants inside, kill them outside with Amdro Ant Block Home Perimeter Ant Bait. Ants are attracted to Amdro because they think it's food. They carry it back to the nest and share it with the entire colony, including the queen. That's how Amdro kills the ants you see and the ones you don't, guaranteed. Look for Amdro Ant Block at your local lawn and garden retailer. Amdro Ant Block. Ants love it to death.
Getting ready to downsize? Find out when to sell or buy a home in 2017 with Eric Stewart's must-read report. Call 800-900-9104 or go to ericstewartgroup.com. That's ericstewartgroup.com and download the free market-ready guide. Get Eric's invaluable tips on decluttering and prepping your house in the right sizing guide. Call him now at 800-900-9104 or go to ericstewartgroup.com. Call Eric today and get moving tomorrow.
So while the Dems and most of the media outlets have basically projected that the world is coming to an end now that President Trump has pulled out of the Paris Accord, two notes of good news that may not have been reported in some of the media that you watch or listen to. The stock market closed at an all-time high yesterday. Dow Jones Industrial Average closing at 21,144. That is the same day that the unemployment rate fell to its lowest level in 16 years in May. Even the real estate market in D.C. is strong. The Obamas have purchased the 8,200-square-foot home in Kalorama that they've been renting. They have purchased it for $8.1 million. Oof. That house sold in 2014 for $5.295 million. So a nice $3 million flip in 3 years for the owner of the house. A previous owner was Joe Lockhart, the former Clinton press secretary. Tangled web we weave. That's it for the Saturday Morning Update. Thanks. Garden Sense is next.
How do you know you're getting first-class financial advice? Hi, this is Chase Hinderstein from the Wise Investor Group. The Wise Investor Group has been recognized in Barron's, Northern Virginia Magazine, the Financial Times, and Washingtonian Magazine for the quality of our investment and financial planning advice. Experience the difference a nationally recognized wealth management firm can provide. Call the Wise Investor Group today.
Call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed Wise Investor. The Wise Investor Group is affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk.